before Rishit comes to Rishit. We've had Rishit. Try again. Before Graham comes to speak to us, I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 9. The Queen of Sheba visits Solomon. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. Arriving with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, as well as the palace he had built, and the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, the cupbearers in their robes, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. There had never been such spices as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. The servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon brought gold from Ophir. They also brought algum wood and precious stones. The king used the algum wood to make steps for the temple of the Lord and for the royal palace, and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. Nothing like them had ever been seen in Judah. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she had brought to him. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Graham.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see you, although you're all in masks. I don't know whether you've come to church or to rob a bank, but it's nice to see you.
Yes.
It's great to see you. It is 2 years. It doesn't seem to be all that long to me since I was last here. But 2 years, well, but it's good to see you again. And just to let you know that I still am able to do the sports ministry. Just keep praying for sports reach. We have a soccer school starting on Wednesday in Carnforth on the football field, and we've got 70 children coming on. So it's a great opportunity. I run a classics football night on Tuesday, and we saw conversion, which was great. One of our players who have been coming for 4 years left to be is a teacher, and he's going to be a teacher in Bedford, and it was his last match. And I didn't know. I just said, "Do you want to say a few words to the folk?" You know, they're here. A lot of them were his friends, and so I said, "Yeah." So after I'd given a little word, he just said, "I've loved coming on Tuesday nights. It's the highlight of my week, and when I go back, it's the thing I'm going to miss the most. But most of all, I want to tell you something. 4 weeks ago, I gave my life to Jesus, you know." So it's so thrilling, it absolutely thrilled me. And we've had other breakthroughs, two guys of late, one who's been with us for 20 years playing football with us, just came to me last week and said, "I'd like to have a Bible, I'd like to read the Bible." And so we're making sure that he gets a Bible. And another man who brought his son, who's in a family where there's a lot of drugs, where there's, I think, even been a death through drugs. The father of the family came to watch his son, And he came to us at the end and he said, no, it was on the Saturday after he met, sorry, let's get facts right. The Saturday after, a friend of mine who helps me was going fishing, and he was going fishing with him, and he said, I want a Bible. And he said, I can't understand it, but he said, I was at a lady's house doing work, plumbing or something like that, and he says, lady stopped me, she said, I was doing a job, and she said, and I told her my story of how drugs had made a terrible effect on my life, and she said, you need the Bible. She says, lady, said, you remember what you could do in the homes, lady, you need a Bible. And she said, you won't believe it, next week I went into another house and the lady told the lady the same thing, and she said exactly the same thing, you need a Bible. He says, you won't believe it, but I came here to bring my son, and he said, you won't believe it, Graham was preaching and he was saying the importance of the Bible to our lives. And so I said, I want a Bible, so he could pray for him. He's a nice guy, but obviously had a difficult past. So thank you for your prayers, and we're going to look at that reading that we had on the visit of the Queen of Sheba. It's an amazing story, and I want to look at it. The Queen of Sheba visits King Solomon, one of the wisest and richest men that has ever lived. Not on the reading, but a little further on, verse 22, it says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all other kings. All the kings of the earth sought ordinance with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. And what I would like to do is to relate this story, this Old Testament story, to discovering Christ. Because in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, it speaks of this incident and says this, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And then it says this, now someone greater than Solomon is here. Of course, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus. Just like this lady came to discover the truth, then for us today, we need to make fresh discoveries of Christ and get some of his wonderful wisdom into his life. And that is one of the reasons why I encourage people to read the Bible. I was out yesterday walking with my wife, and there was a lady, and she goes to church. She's a churchgoer. I wish she went to a little bit more lively church than she did. Won't mention which church it was, but it doesn't really preach the gospel. Okay. I said to her, how are you doing? She just had a little stroke and health problems. I said, do you read the Bible? And she said, it says, no, I don't read the Bible at all. I can't think of. And I said, well, can I encourage you to do it? You know, she's never been, she's going to church for most of her life, and she's never been encouraged to read the Bible. And that says a little reflection on the church that she goes to. But just encourage her, the wisdom. Now, I read the Bible, I'm sure you do, and there is a portion of the Bible that's all about wisdom. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And one day I heard Billy Graham, of all people, saying that he read a chapter of Proverbs every day as well as his Bible reading for the day. He said, it really helps me become wiser. And I can remember, you know, I thought, well, if Billy Graham does that, I'm going to try to do that. As well as reading my Bible reading, I'll try to grow in wisdom by reading the Book of Proverbs. And one chapter a day, I read a chapter a day. And it's great. And I remember one day, I read a verse. I'll mention what it is in a moment, but I'll tell you what I was doing. I had a group of children from school. I was doing a school's camp. And we'd been to church in the morning, and I said, come on, we'll do a walk across the fields and go back the country way. And we're right in the middle of this field, And a farmer came blazing at us. I've never seen a farmer. He was red in the face. And he came, and obviously he didn't like people going across his field. It was just an ordinary grass field. We were doing no damage. And he came, you know, I thought, oh dear, what's... And then the verse from the proverb says that, I think it's something like this. I'm quoting it off memory now. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So I spoke very gently to him. I said, I'm really sorry. I said, I apologise. There was no sign to say that it was private or dangerous to come across and so forth. I said, I just want to apologise. And it, just because I spoke, I didn't get into his anger. I spoke, it just dissipated from his mind. And said, well, just go around that way and out again. I don't like people coming across my land. And that was it. So there's great wisdom you can get for your life. That was one particular thing that I remember well. Anyway, Solomon was, of course, a man of wisdom and truth. The Queen of Sheba was a monarch of the ancient kingdom of Sheba, possibly in Yemen, in southern Arabia. She was a woman of great wealth, we're told, beauty and power. We read, when the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. So she really wanted to find the truth. That was the quest in this lady. She arrived with a great caravan of camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold, precious stones. She travelled 1,500 miles to reach Solomon. That was the depth of that lady's desire to find truth. 1,500 miles across desert. There would be no services, no costas, only an occasional oasis. So it must have been a severely difficult journey for a lady to travel that far. We complain when we just got to go down to London for 200 to 300 miles. But just imagine 1,500 mile journey. But she wanted to know the truth. She wanted to know the truth about this man, Solomon. Today we should be just more, if there's a wiser than Solomon that we can go to, then we should, you know, have a desire to find him and discover all we can about him. Is he really the Son of God? Is he all that said about him true? Is he the greatest person that ever lived? What about his wealth? The Bible speaks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The one who said, anybody who comes to me shall never thirst again. These are great statements. And maybe you have come to church, one of your reasons of being here is you want to find more about Jesus, and that's a great reason to come to church. And I hope that, I think when I don't want to tell too many stories, that's my sermon will be long, but I also remember when I first preached my first sermon, it was at Cape and Ray Hall, and there was about 200 teachers. So 200 teenagers rather there, absolutely packed of young people. I was very, very nervous. And to my horror, as I was just about to start, in coming through the door to sit right in front of me was one of the greatest preachers around at that time, a man by the name of Major Ian Thomas. And I nearly died in my boots. I thought, oh no, I'm preaching in front of the great Major. And I was very nervous, and when I finished, he came up to me and said, I'll run you home, Graham. I only live 4 miles from Cape and Ray. And I got in his car and I thought, I'm going to get a lecture on homiletics, how to preach, sort of thing. So I thought, I'll get in first. I said, Major, I said, you've preached all your life. And I'm just, these are the very words I used, I'm on the first rung of the ladder. Have you any advice that you can give me? And I've remembered ever since that day, it's gone with me all through my life. And for the answer, this is what he said, Graham. He said, when you preach, preach Christ. When you've preached Christ, preach Christ. And when you've preached Christ, preach Christ. That's some of the best advice that any preacher could have. You know, when you're a preacher, the one thing you want is people to be blessed. You know, that's why I come. I hope you'll be blessed today, and I hope the Holy Spirit will do a little, maybe something I say that might just help your life in a degree, and you're blessed. Well, there is a verse in about Jesus in the book of Ephesians, which you're studying. I'm sure you've hit this verse. It speaks of the leader. It says, in him, sorry, not getting the right quote, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So God says, listen, I've wrapped all my blessings in one person. Every blessing there is in my son. So if you want to be blessed, go to my son. He's got the lot. Every single blessing. So why preach on anything? If all the blessings that humans can get from God are in Christ, why should a preacher preach on anything else but Christ? When you preach, preach Christ. When you preach Christ, preach Christ. And when you preach Christ, preach Christ. If I don't preach Christ to you when I come here, sack me. Okay? There's nothing better. All the blessings are there. Jesus, of course, says that, you know, we can come to him with all our burdens. Listen to what it says. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This lady came to Solomon, the man of great wisdom. And the discovery she made when she came, Solomon answered her all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. The wonderful thing about Jesus, he knows, as he knows, there's a lot we can't understand. If you're going through a book, I'm just studying Ephesians actually. It's a very difficult book, and but a very wonderful book. And I think looking at it, you probably have a lot of questions that it raises. But the wonderful thing is that there's nothing too hard for Jesus to make known to us. When I was speaking about the Bible, to read the Bible to my footballers, I used that verse about the Bible. It says in there that he makes wise the simple. I'm so glad that, you know, it's not just for scholars, is this book, you know, people who've got about 300 A-levels, okay? It's for folk like ourselves. I said to this dear lady yesterday, read the Bible, and she's not, you know, she's not what I would call a great thinker, she's just a nice, dear old lady. And I said, there'll be gems there for you to pick up and read. He makes wise the simple. So Solomon had amazing wisdom. He wrote the book of Proverbs. He also wrote 3,000 Proverbs. And he was a songwriter. He wrote 1,000 songs as well. And God had said to Solomon, you remember right at the beginning of his reign, God said, what do you want? You're going to be the next king. What do you want? And his answer was, give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead this people. You know, we can ask the Lord for wisdom, and he gives it freely. Sometimes you're going through a hard time and you just say, well, what shall I do? Well, ask the Lord and go to his word, because that's where so much of the wisdom of God is. And you'll find wisdom, and he'll show you what to do. But remember, the Lord Jesus is greater than Solomon. And God wants us to discover Christ. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. For this reason was I born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify of the truth. God wants us to know the truth. The truth about God, the truth about the way to heaven, the truth about the way to blessing. Because God loves us so much, he wants us to be blessed, so he wants to discover. And it's great to keep coming. I encourage you going to the Bible studies here. Can I really encourage that? You will benefit richly from it. And that. What did she discover when she came to Solomon? It says in verse 3, when the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon as well as his palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, and great offerings he made at the temple of the Lord. She, this is what it says, she was overwhelmed. All this wisdom, all this beauty, all that this King Solomon had, she was overwhelmed. Now, I wonder if you've ever been overwhelmed with Jesus. The more you get to know him. Remember, we're getting back to our topic, preaching Christ. Let me see some of the wonders of Christ. First of all, see his cross, his amazing sacrifice. We need to keep, and it's good that communion service is starting again. That's great, because that points you back. We must never forget Calvary, what Jesus did there for you, and for what he did for me there. That he bore our sins on his own body, on that tree. That he was wounded and bruised for our iniquities. In our place, condemned he stood. We see from his amazing cross that fantastic love. If you ever doubt that God loves you, just look up at the cross. Because he was dying for you. He loves you with Calvary love today. So the cross, we must be overwhelmed when we look at it. What about his glorious resurrection? Isn't that something that should overwhelm us? Jesus is alive. He's alive today. Not only do we look back at the cross 2,000 years, but every morning we wake up, there's a living Christ who wants to come to our life and help us with our lives. And the greatest thing you could pray in the morning is that I might know you and the power of your resurrection in my life today. And he will. He will come. Whatever you got on, he'll be there. Whatever problems, pressures are arising, you can turn to Jesus. He's alive. He's not a dead Saviour. He's a living Saviour. His exaltation. He can live in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, but in bodily presence he's been exalted right into the very presence of God. He's at the Father's right hand, co-equal with the Father. Jesus is exactly the same in status as God. He's as high as that. He's been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. He's supreme in exaltation. Then see probably the greatest truth that excited me the most, which I've hinted on already, but let me say it again. His indwelling life. Jesus wants to live in us and through us. I think after the truth that I had of the cross and becoming a Christian, that if I wanted to become a Christian I needed to go to the cross and ask Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart. After that, the greatest truth I ever discovered was that he wanted to live the Christian life that I couldn't live through me. He wanted to transform me by indwelling my life. So I said this very prayer this morning, and this is the prayer I could tell you I promise I said it this morning. Lord, may it not be I that lives today, but Christ who lives in me. It's either I or Christ. When we take the I away, Christ can live through us. And we can be a blessing to our neighbours. Whoever meets us, they don't meet us, they meet Jesus in us. Christ died for you that he might live in you. And the glory and the wonder of indwelling life. When you're tempted, send Jesus, and he'll soon drive Satan away. Okay? The living Christ indwelling. Overwhelmed she was. See his robes. You remember she looked round and saw these attendants of the throne in beautiful robes going around. Magnificent robes. Do you know what happens when you become a Christian? In the spiritual realm, I'll tell you what happens. The day you become a Christian, God does two things. He takes away your sin. Anybody who comes to the cross, puts their faith in Christ, whatever they've done in their life is completely forgiven. He takes it away. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then, what he does, you know, he clothes us with a robe of righteousness spiritually. What he does, he imputes to you the very righteousness of Christ. So you've got a beautiful dress to wear. And the best time to put it on is first thing in the morning. When I pray, I want to get right through Graham Stamford, the sinner. I want to get right through to the very presence of God when I get up in the morning, so I can talk to my Heavenly Father. But how could I go into such glory, holiness, purity, Graham Stamford the sinner? I can't, because now I have this beautiful dress, this robe of righteousness that God has given me. Somebody put it so beautifully, that I can come as near to God, nearer to God I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I'm just as near as he. When God looks at me there in all this, what I am, he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. That's my dress, and that's for every Christian, the dress of righteousness. Have you been overwhelmed that you've got such a robe? And so, look at the provisions of Christ. Let me just mention some of them, which can transform your life. Listen, it can transform your marriage, this one. Okay, ready? You can share his love. When Jesus Christ comes to live in you, he comes to bring Calvary love into your life. So you can love your partner, wife, husband. You can love your children. Not just with your love, and you know, we have natural love, we have that eros, it's called, but we have agape. This is the agape. Agape is God's love. So you can love with God's love. You can transform marriage. People who ask to be filled with agape, I'll tell you what, the best lovers on the planet. Okay? Best lovers. And it's what Christ brings, wants to bring every day. You can have his joy. I don't believe that Christians should be grumpy, you know, long faces. I honestly don't. I think we've got the most exciting news in the world. I know there's times we've got to be sad. I'm not saying there's times you can't be sad in life. But underneath all that, there should be an overwhelming joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. You can have joy in your life. You can have a spring in your step. That's what Christ brings to our lives. That's it. He provides his peace. His peace. That guy who I told you about, the one thing he couldn't get over, the guy I'm talking about, who was in a drug situated part of campus where it's all known for its drugs. He says, I can't understand it. I've got a new peace. I've got a new peace, he kept saying. I've got a new peace. He couldn't understand it. He didn't know what it is yet. But he just, that's the thing. He says, I can't just work out what's happened to me. There's a peace in my life. And that's why I want to read the Bible, he said. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding. New power. When Jesus comes to live in our heart, he just don't want to be a spectator. He wants to bring his power. So you can do the things that are supernatural with your life. People say, wow, how was you able to do that? It's the power of Jesus. You shall receive power, the Bible says, when you receive the Holy Spirit. And he will empower you to serve God like you've never served him before. I couldn't take on the ministry. I'll be speaking to kids, I'll be going to America shortly, from place to place. I couldn't do my work at all without the power of his Spirit. I'm absolutely dependent on him. And you can have that power. It's for you. We read about the Apostle Paul and people like that in the Bible, these great preachers and teachers. Listen, Jesus, they are only what they are because of Jesus and the power. And that power that he gives the Apostle Paul is exactly the same power for every Christian. It says in Ephesians, you'll get this in Ephesians, when it speaks of the exceeding greatness of his power. And then it says this after it, for you who believe, trust him for it. If you trust him, he'll share his power with you. So these are his provisions. Well, let me just finish by coming to the conclusion that this lady came to when she met Solomon. All that is said about him is true. Verse 5. For she said to the king, report I heard in my country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. That was the conclusion. Everything I've learnt about you, it's real. I've come by myself. I've discovered it. I've travelled that 1,500 miles, and this is the glorious truth that I found. It's gloriously true. You know, I'm sure you can say this in your life. Those of you who come to Christ, everything is said. Everything is been. Isn't it gloriously true? Hasn't it been, you know, could you say, yes, everything, and I read my Bible and I go about my life, everything about Jesus I've discovered all my life. I've been a Christian over 50 years, and I want to tell you every bit has been true that I've discovered of Christ. That's what this lady said, and a vital message. But I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. There was a point where I decided I'm going to see this Solomon, and I'm going to go. I've heard all kinds of things about him, but I want to see whether it's true. And so she travels 1,500 miles, and her conclusion was, until I came and saw with my own eyes. And you know, Jesus says, I want you to come to me with your own eyes. I want you to come. I want you to discover all the blessings that are in me. Come. And a final conclusion, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me, for it far exceeded the report I'd heard. She said, I heard all kinds of wonderful things about you, Solomon, but when I came, it far exceeded. It's far better than anybody's ever told me. It's far more wonderful. I've experienced it myself. And I'm going back now to Arabia. And I believe that he said that she started, helped to start the Coptic church in Africa and Yemen and that area, the witness of this lady. She was so excited, I'm sure. Do you think when she got back, having been that wonderful time and all those gifts, and Solomon gave her more gifts than she got, you know, brought himself. Whatever she brought, Solomon gave her greater things. That's Christ. Greater than Christ is here. And whatever you bring, whatever offering you put in the coming, whatever you do for you, you'll find that he's always going to give you far more back. You're not a loser when you come to Christ. You're a great winner. And he imparts to you strength. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she brought him. Then she left and returned to her country. Just to finish on two simple words. The maybe, and I say this everywhere I go, so don't feel in any way that I'm getting at you in particular. There may be somebody here who has not yet come to Christ. Most congregations I go to and preach at, there are people who come searching for the truth, desiring to find more about Jesus. And that may be you today. You've never made that wholehearted commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. I want you to do it this morning. Come to him. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to forgive you. But you've got to come. You've got to come like that lady did and came herself personally and trusted. You've got to come to personal. You can't trust Christ with somebody else's faith. You've got to come yourself. And I say to people that I'm going to pray at the end at this service where you can do that. I always give the opportunity if you've never done that, and it may be you. But many of us are Christians. My message to you is very simple. Keep coming to Jesus. Every day, get up and have that Bible reading. Have a prayer time. And ask Christ to live in you that day, live through you. And see the blessings you can share on that day. It makes life exciting. What's Jesus going to do next? And he's got all kinds of things in store for you. Keep coming. Keep drawing. Roots going deeper into Christ. That's using the biblical language. All right, that we may be rooted and grounded in Christ. May God bless you. Let's just pray. Just finish with a prayer for anybody who is not sure they're a Christian and they want to make sure this morning. They want to come to Christ for that forgiveness and that mercy and love that he's ever longing to give us. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on that cross for me. Thank you that you died to be my saviour, and today I want to do something very wonderful. I want to come to you and ask you to come into my life, into my heart, and make me a real Christian. Send your Holy Spirit into my life, that I might live in your power and strength, and bless me. Save me now, and give me the courage to tell somebody that I've put my trust in Christ. And then many of us are Christians here, and we just want to say, keep us coming. Help the roots of our whole being be rooted daily in the living life of the risen Lord. Amen. Thank you. I have a little booklet, incidentally, let me say before Chris, if anybody prayed that prayer, I'd like to give it to you. It's called The Greatest Life, and I take it everywhere with me. You're very welcome. Just say, I'd like one of those booklets, and I'll pass one before you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham.